In this week's Parsha, we read about a pasuk that is one of the most important sukkim in the Torah, both from a hashkafic perspective and even from a halachic perspective, even though it doesn't actually necessarily have any direct halachic nafkaminas. And that's the pasuk of Vayivra Elokim es ha'adam b'tzalmo, v'tzelem Elokim bara oso. The notion that every human being was created in the image of his or her creator. In Parshas Noach, we will read what you might call the nafkamina, if you can call it that, is shofech dam ha'adam, v'adam damo yishafech, ki b'tzelem Elokim asa asadam. That the reason the Torah says a murderer is punished with the death penalty is because a human being was created b'tzelem Elokim. If you kill an animal, even somebody else's animal, you pay money. When you kill a human being, you have to be, the only way to atone for such an avera is to be killed, because the avera rises to a certain level, it would only be appropriate that destroying b'tzelem Elokim, that person be killed as well. This principle of human beings being created in the image of God is not a biological or a psychological principle. It's a theological principle. It's not a question of that human beings are more intelligent than any other animals, even if they are. It would be irrelevant if someone could demonstrate that there's a new ape that's as smart as a human being. This is not a statement of biology. It's a statement of theology or philosophy. Why is this such an important principle in terms of the Torah's many halachos in the Torah? So it has been noted by Professor Moshe Greenberg, comparing ancient Near Eastern law and the Parshas Mishpatim, or the Torah in general, that there are certain features that distinguish the two systems. And he suggests, and I think correctly so, that they are rooted, those differences are rooted in a very different theological conception of human beings and the creation of human beings. And in the ancient Near East, human beings were basically just another part of the creation. And humans were no different than any other part of the creation, different than animals. They were created so the gods wouldn't have to work hard. They would provide the food for the gods. But obviously in the Torah, human beings, God doesn't need our food, and he doesn't really need our karbanos. And human beings are clearly the apex of creation. Everything is really leading up to the last stage, Nasa Adam Betzalmenu Kidmusenu, and that's when creation is complete. Everything else in the world was created for the needs of humankind. And what emerges from this, he points out, is that, firstly, you never find anywhere in the Torah that a financial crime is punishable by death. Because the idea that you could destroy a Tzelem Elokim to compensate for money is simply unfathomable. The two are not in any way equatable. And the same is true in reverse, that a deaf person who was sentenced to death, and it is explicitly stated in the context of sentenced to death for murder, no financial payment can possibly be accepted as compensation. If you want to see a contrast, so ancient Near Eastern law, and here Sharia, modern day Islamic law, has the idea that when you kill a person, there are many cases in which instead of killing the person, a ransom payment can be accepted. But the Torah explicitly states, Lo sichu chofer lenefesh rotzeach ashehu rashalamus kimos yumas, because nothing can atone for the destruction of a human life, the intentional destruction of human life, except for putting the person to death. Rashi in Sanhedrin notes that even by Rotzeach b'shogeg, by right, you should be put to death. And it's a special leniency that the Torah allows galus as a kapara. And I would add to this the fact that animals that kill human beings are put to death is not a function of the animals enough iron. Animals don't have mitzvahs. But there's a notion that a living thing that has killed a human being, the only way, in effect, to atone, and the animal doesn't require atonement, but the animal has to be put to death. In addition, the idea that a slave, that killing one slave, is punishable by death. In the Torah, despite the din of Yoma Yomayim, what is clear is that intentional, premeditated murder of even one's own slave is liable for the death penalty. And finally, one of the principles that also emerges from this, and you see the contrast when you study ancient Near Eastern law. In ancient Near Eastern law, it is quite common that a man's wife or a man's children can be punished in his stead. perhaps my favorite example of this is that if a man strikes another man's daughter who is pregnant and she miscarries, he has to pay a certain amount of money. But if she dies, you kill his daughter. And it looks a lot like Parshas Mishpatim until you do a double take and you say, one second, you don't kill him, which is what the Torah describes, but rather you kill his daughter, which is inconceivable from the Torah's perspective because a man's wife and a man's children are not his property because the soul of a human being can never belong to another human being. We do have a concept of slavery, of abdus, where you can own the rights to the eved, the rights, financial rights to an eved, but the neshama of another human being, the tzalam elokim, cannot belong to any other human being. And hence, the Torah says, when you kill an eved, you are chayav nisa. When you are responsible for something to die, you can't have your wife or your children in some type of midah, keneged midah, killed in your stead, because they don't belong to you. Lo yumsu avos abanim, uvanim lo yumsu avos ish v'chetel yumasu. The Mishkan Avos comments that Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tselem, Chiba Yisera Das Lo Shenivra B'Tselem, and I know that there is a more relatively modern interpretation, but it's clear pshat in the Mishnah and a long history of interpretation, and is that this refers to all human beings. Every single human being is created in the image of God. Man, woman, child, Jew, non-Jew, able, disabled, every single human being is endowed with the image of his or her creator. And what emerges from that is that there is a set of obligations which we have towards all other human beings that may vary based upon kinship and all sorts of other things, although at its apex applies to all other human beings, which is the prohibition of murder under any circumstances. So that all flows from the fact that every human being is created in the image of God. This special obligation, in modern secular terms, they would say that the human rights, the concept of human rights, is an outgrowth of the biblical notion that human beings are created in the image of God. Absent that, human beings are simply Darwinian creatures in a larger spectrum of creatures who might be smarter and might win out over other contexts, but fundamentally are no different than the rest of creation without this profound theological statement. In other words, the entire basis of human rights rests upon this pasuk. And we certainly do subscribe to a related concept, although I don't like to use the term rights. I like to use the term obligations. We have the obligations of varying levels to all of humanity, which are an outgrowth of this pasuk. This is a longer topic, and I suspect it's one that I'll return to, but I want to just mention to you three things where I think that the Western world is either in some part or even in larger parts started to lose sight of this principle. In other words, the notion of human rights has come to exist on its own and lost really the foundational basis of the uniqueness of humanity. The first one, which is still relatively fringe, although growing in our society, is the notion of animal rights. One could come up with many reasons why not to eat meat, and certainly as produced in our society. While we believe that the entire creation is there to serve humanity, nonetheless, the conditions in which most of the animals we eat, most meat and probably almost all kosher meat are raised, one could raise significant questions, both environmentally speaking and in terms of the excessive cruelty in the way that these animals are raised. There's a very strong argument that could be made why one should refrain from eating meat. I'm not saying that one has to, but certainly from a Torah perspective, there's a reasonable argument. It's not maybe not a compelling one, but certainly a very reasonable argument to be made. But there's only one argument that I believe cannot be made, which is that animals have rights. If there were no environmental considerations, if you had animals that were raised in properly humane conditions, let's say, grass-fed beef under normal healthy conditions, there is no theological argument from a Torah perspective that could possibly say that it would be inappropriate to eat those animals. Then the whole conception of the human beings are created at Tzelem Elokim is precisely that human beings are apart from creation. You may never kill another human being in what is termed murder, but one is allowed to partake in animal flesh. And one might note that in Parshas Bereishis, this week's Parsha, that wasn't true. After the original creation, So we were not allowed to partake in the meat of the flesh of animals. Only after the Mabul, Kivayochal, I say that very strongly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to rectify this error, and he gave us permission to eat meat, because we saw what happened when animals and human beings were equated. We wound up not with animals raised to the level of human beings, but human beings lowered to the level of animals, and that's why we had Kimala Aret Kamas. And the first thing that happened after they leave the Teva is Noach brings Karbanos, and then God gives us permission to eat meat, which reminds us, Shofech Tabadam, Badam Damay Shefech, Ki Betzelem Elokim Asas Adam. Animals do not have a Tzelem Elokim, human beings do. We might believe, to some extent, Tov Hashem Lakol, V'racham Avakom Asav, but animals, from a Torah perspective, do not have fundamental rights. Only human beings are created Betzelem Elokim, and that generates a set of obligations that in some cases are absolute. So number one, the idea of animal rights is anathema to Yahadus. Number two is a more fringe element, but it's one that should be of concern in our society. The question of capital punishment and its disparate application. I'm not going to discuss the general question of what is the Torah's hashkaf on capital punishment, because it's a very difficult topic, perhaps for another time. There's a machlokas hatanayim and makos, and it's not clear exactly what the principled opinions actually are, or what the underlying principles are. Suffice it to say that it's a complicated discussion. But one thing I think is pretty clear. The Torah certainly does, at least conceptually or theoretically, idealize the death penalty as a kapara for murder. And that is premised again on the pasuk in next week's parsha of shofech dam adam badam shofech, etc. But one thing has to be clear. All human beings were created with Tzelem Elokim. To have a death penalty that discriminates in one way or another for the same act, for the same context, based upon different aspects of human beings, be they race or anything else, of the victim, of the perpetrator, that's a violation of this fundamental principle of Torah. That's a violation of recognizing that every human being is of infinite and equal value. Ki betzelem elokim asas ha'adam. And finally, number three, which is the one that unfortunately is becoming most lemaisa, and for those who are going into medicine, it's becoming a greater challenge. It hasn't been as big a challenge in this country. I know it's a bigger problem in Europe and in Canada, but it's coming here as well, is the question of suicide and physician-assisted suicide. Suicide probably is technically a crime still in many states. But based upon, I would say, the contemporary ethos, it's not clear entirely why. If one has this extreme view of individual freedom, my body, my choice, whether it is for abortion, again, that's a complicated topic, or not to get vaccinated, that's a less complicated, but a little bit of a complicated topic. So whichever angle you come from, at the end of the day, we don't actually subscribe to the notion that one's body belongs to oneself. Of course, one has a great degree of autonomy, recognized halakhically, and a great range of choices that one gets to make about one's life. But we do not believe that one has the right to injure oneself, to wound oneself unnecessarily, and we certainly categorically prohibit killing oneself. Suicide is not permitted, and a kal vachomer to force physicians to assist other patients. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Dr. Chesam and Al, tells the story of the martyrdom of Chanina ben Tzadya. And as he was being burned, so the Romans, as described in the story, tried to prolong his death. And the Talmidim said, Rebbe, open your mouth so that the flames will enter your die faster. And he said, Mutav shi'itlena misha nesana val yechbal hu ba'atzma. It is better and more appropriate for the person who gave me my neshama to take it away and not for me to hasten the job, not to meet the wound myself. We believe that every human being is created with Tzelem Elokim. That creates obligations towards all other human beings of various kinds. And it also means that we're not owners of ourselves. We don't own our being. And even though we have a great degree of autonomy, and hence, this is another area which I fear that our society is losing its direction. From our vantage point, permitting suicide and certainly sanctioning physician-assisted suicide is the most grave violation of human obligation or human rights from a Torah vantage point. And so I think that this is something that we need to talk about publicly. This is not something, this is not a particularist aspect that I think that we should be quiet about as a Jewish community. You know, there might be things that we might argue are not a responsibility to push to the world, but these are a set of values. And I would say the concept of human rights in the Western world did not come from Greco-Roman culture. It came from the Torah, right? There are two major influences, I'm sure there are many minor ones, in Western culture. And one of them is the Greco-Roman tradition, and one of them is the Jewish tradition and the Christian tradition, maybe one filtering, you know, filtered through the other. We believe very, very strongly in the notion that every human being is created with Tzelem Elokim, and that something in all of its manifestations after a lot of careful thought is something that we should be prepared to proclaim in the public sphere, in the manifestations that I've mentioned, and in any other cases that this central principle of Torah is relevant. Ha'yivra Elokim es Adam, b'tzelem Elokim bara oso, zachar unakeva bara osam. Shabbos.